Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be here. Never been here before. Praise the Lord. I'm going to speak about dry bones and spiritual bone marrow failure. Let's turn to Ezekiel 37. Verses 1 through 10. Now, as we read this story, I'm going to relate it to us as individuals and to the church as a whole. But verse 11 tells us that it's actually a picture. It speaks of the restoration of Israel. But we're going to look at it in a personal way. And I'm going to go into some medical terminology regarding the bone marrow and its importance to us and what these dry bones really mean. So let's read these verses. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, Prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I'm sure a lot of preachers can relate to trying to preach to dry bones. But can you imagine being told to actually prophesy and preach to dry bones? I can't imagine that. But he was obedient, and he did. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. The knee bones connected to the shin bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And so the last part of verse 2 tells us that these bones were very dry. Now you have to realize that these bones represented a body that was once living and moving and active and moist and joined together, but it died and it dried up and fell apart. I'm going to apply all this spiritually to us. So then after it fell apart, it dried up, fell apart, I mean it died, the vultures and the worms and all the other animals came along and cleaned up these bones and did their thing, and then the bone marrow dried up, and it seemed as though these bones were beyond any hope of ever living again. As a physician, I wouldn't have said what Ezekiel did. Well, maybe I would have. I would have said, Lord, you know, because I know they're not going to live, but you know, or you wouldn't ask the question, but you know. That was a safe answer. So, bones are usually very moist, and they have an abundant blood supply. So if you break a bone, you bleed a lot. And they're filled with an amazing substance called bone marrow, and that's what I'm going to talk about. Now, Job even mentions bone marrow. I'm going to just give you some of these scriptures rather than turning to all these scriptures. Job 21:24. Job mentions that the bones are moistened with marrow. And he's talking about someone who is kind of in the prime of life but dies anyway. You don't have to be sick to die. That's what he was saying. But the bones are moistened with marrow. Now, how did Job know that marrow was so important? I don't know. God revealed it to him, I guess. But bone marrow is, as I said, a very amazing substance, because in the bone marrow, first of all, it's located in the very center of the bone. And it produces all the cells that are in the bloodstream. Okay, what it does is it manufactures the immature forms of these blood cells. They call those stem cells. You've probably heard of stem cells. Then when these cells are needed, depending on what the body needs, if you've had an accident and you've lost blood, then the body will send a signal for the bone marrow to start maturing these red cells and send them out of the bone marrow into the bloodstream where they're needed. Or if you have an infection, then there's a signal sent to make more white cells to fight off that infection. And so all these stem cells are just sitting there waiting to be used. So there are three basic types of cells in the bloodstream and sitting in the bone marrow. And so that tells us that we're a trinity even at the basic inner part of our bones. We're a trinity. We're created in his image. So the red cells, this is going to be very simplistic. Let's just give you basically what they do. The red cells are designed to carry the oxygen to all the other cells in the body. So they pick up the oxygen from the lungs and they carry it and release it to all the cells, other cells in the body. So you can see how important that would be. And then the white cells are part of the immune system and they help fight off infection. And the platelets, so we have red cells, white cells, and platelets. The platelets are necessary to help form clots and control bleeding. If you didn't have enough platelets, you would bleed to death. You couldn't form a clot when you cut yourself. So healthy bone marrow or moist bones is necessary for life. If the bone marrow dries up and you fail to form any of these three cells, then it's not going to be long before you die. So if you become sick and you have to go see a doctor, one of the first tests that they're going to do is something called a CBC. That means a complete blood count. And it checks the numbers of each of these cells. It checks the number of your red cells, your white cells, and your platelets. And it gives the physician an idea of what may be wrong with you. If these numbers are very low, then the doctor gets concerned, and it may be necessary to actually do a bone marrow biopsy to try and determine the cause. And I happen to bring a bone marrow biopsy needle from my antique collection. I know you can't see it up here, but I can show it to you later if you want to. So the bone marrow needle is called a jam-shitty needle, and it's beveled and sharp on both edges, and it's got a stylus in the middle that comes out, and it's hollow in there. So the doctor, and I've done this before, if anybody wants to volunteer, I can demonstrate it. No volunteers? You all look too healthy to have a bone marrow biopsy. So basically, the person's lying down, and we take this needle and we push it down through the skin into the bone, and we drill it like this, down into the very center of the bone. I'm telling you this and showing you this because it has a spiritual application. And so when you get into the center of the bone, you take out the center part. You hook on this needle or this syringe, and you draw out a sample. That's not supposed to do that. It's a larger syringe that's on there. So you pull it out, and you get a sample of the bone marrow, and you send it for analysis to see what's wrong. You check the amount of iron stores in the bone marrow, and you check to see if there's cancer in the bone marrow, and it gives you the diagnosis. Now, it can actually also be used for treatment. A similar needle. It's called an intraosseous needle because it goes inside the bone. Looks very much like this. Of course, everything's disposable now. So if you had severe trauma or a serious illness and you were in shock and your blood pressure was very low, we could take this similar needle, an intraosseous needle, and drill into the bone, and then we can hook up an IV here and put large volumes of IV fluids or antibiotics or even transfused blood, whatever is needed, into that person in a short period of time, and then we can perhaps save their life as a result of that. And so bone marrow is very important. And a way to access and get into the bone marrow is important for physicians. In Proverbs 17:22, we read, this is a common scripture that we all could probably quote, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." What's it mean, drieth the bones? The bone marrow. She's talking about the bone marrow. I'm amazed at how accurate a medical textbook the Bible is. They didn't know about bone marrow, what the necessity of bone marrow was at that time, but the Lord did, and so we have it in the scripture. So when you have a merry heart and you're full of the joy of the Lord, then you're actually healthier. You have a better immune system. But if you're depressed and you're letting all your trials and troubles get you down, instead of casting them upon the Lord, then you may actually be more subject to infections as a result of that. Stress can affect the number of cells in your bone marrow. And so a broken spirit really does dry up the bones, or it affects the bone marrow activity. Now, Proverbs 3:8 is the next scripture. And this scripture tells us that the fear of the Lord is health to our navel and marrow to our bones. Fear of the Lord gives you healthy bone marrow. Now, what happened to the nation of Israel? They lost their fear of the Lord. And they began to serve the gods of the other nations around them. And they were taken into captivity, right? And then there's a scripture that says when they were taken into captivity that they were asked by the other nations to sing the songs of Zion. And they said, we can't sing the songs of Zion. They had lost the joy of the Lord. They couldn't sing. I'm so glad we can sing. So glad we have the joy of the Lord. And so They lost their fear of the Lord, and then they lost their joy of the Lord. They no longer had a merry heart, and their bone marrow just began to dry up. And that's what happened to them. That's why they ended up in the valley of the dry bones. Now, if we fail personally, like Israel, to put God first in our hearts, first, and allow the cares of this life to take priority, then pretty soon we'll begin to dry up and become lifeless. And we won't be able to stand against Satan. We don't want that to happen. We want moist bones. Now, in Ezekiel 37, when I read it in verse 3, it said that God asked Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? Can these bones live? And what was the answer of God when Ezekiel said, well, you know, he tells Ezekiel to prophesy to these bones. Oh, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, what does it mean to prophesy? I'm prophesying. It doesn't mean to foretell future events. It means to speak to edification, exhortation, and comfort. And so whether we're exhorting or comforting or whenever we're giving out the word of the Lord, we are prophesying. And God, you can use you even when you're not behind a pulpit. You can use me as a physician when I'm counseling with a patient. So the word of God has the power to give or restore life. He restoreth my soul. But it's the word of God that he uses to do that. It's quick and powerful. We read that in Hebrews 4:12. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Sharper than this. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow. It gets way down into the middle of us. And we don't always like that drilling into the middle of our being, to the very core. The bone marrow is in the core of the bone. And he has to take that word and drill into us. So the great physician is seeking a diagnosis through the word, but also the treatment. Because I said that the bone marrow can be used to not only diagnose what is wrong, but it can be used to infuse life into someone who's dying and is in shock. And so he gives us his word. It pierces to the marrow. And all we have to do is yield. You know, if you do go get a bone marrow test, you have to sign a consent and say, I will do that. And you have to submit to the physician to do that. If you're squirming around and then that can't happen. And so the Lord asks our permission. We have to allow that. And we heard that in the sermon last night. We have to allow the Lord to work in our life. We have to allow the word of God to penetrate into us, into our inner being, and find that part in our body, that place in our life where we need healing. And sometimes we try to hide that from the Lord, but he already knows. And he also knows that those dry bones can live again. He knows that. So the word of God is able to diagnose and bring healing for a spiritual bone marrow failure. The word of his grace brings resurrection power into us, to all those who yield to the cutting and the piercing of the soul down to the marrow. Okay, so now going on in the story of Ezekiel and the dry bones, we know that in a living body, the bones are held together by joints. And then it's connected by the ligaments and the muscles and the tendons. And God connected it in a way so that we would have movement in the body. Okay, we're not just stick figures. We have movement. He made joints to bring us together for the purpose of an action that he wants. He wants to allow movement to perform a specific function where we're not just a body to be a body, to be joined together. We could have been super glued together, but he made us joined together in our order that we can accomplish his will together. Those dry bones in the valley could not work together. They had to be joined together. We're joined together here now. And so they needed to be joined together, and then they needed to have breath. Okay, so then in verse 6, we read that the Lord says, I will lay sinews upon you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And I see everybody's here covered with skin and breathing. I hope nobody stops breathing. But this can only be accomplished, as I said, by the word, the life-giving word of his grace. And what does the scripture say in Acts 20, 32? That the word of his grace is able to build you up. Paul says, I commend you to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. That's why the word of God's grace is so important. It builds us up. It builds us into a body. It builds us into the bride. So Ephesians 4, 15 and 16 is another one that talks about building us up. So you might want to just write this down. It shows us, where it says, speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, that's with all the ligaments and the tendons, and compacted by that which every joint supplies. So all important. Together. We must work together. We must be joined together. So the word of God pulls us together as a body and builds us up in order that we can stand in the evil day. Not just individually, but as a body. We need the word of his grace. So in verse 7, I said that Ezekiel actually obeyed the Lord and he spoke God's word. And that's two. He prophesied edification, exhortation, and comfort. Those bones needed all of that. And what happened? The bones came together. But there was no breath in them. Then God told Ezekiel to prophesy to the wind. And the breath came into them. And they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Now, 2 Timothy 3:16. You can probably quote that too. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God breathed. In the physical body, inspiration is part of the process of breathing. It means to inhale and take a deep breath, to inspire. So God's word is breathed into us. It is inspired by the Holy Spirit, who is that breath that God breathed into us through his word, breathes it into our souls, and then he literally does this through his word, just like he did in Adam's physical body when he created Adam. He breathes into us his word, and we become alive. The word becomes living, not just words on paper. It becomes alive, and we become alive. And then the other half of breathing is breathing out. So we have to take in the word of God. We have to give out the word of God. You don't have to be behind a pulpit to do that. The Lord gives you opportunities every day to breathe out the word of God. It should be part of your just being, that those who come in contact with you will feel your breath. There's a scripture that says that Jesus breathed on them. We breathe on them, Jesus, and we breathe on them the word of God if it's in your heart. If you inspire the word of God, you breathe in the word of God, you will breathe out the word of God. So then we can bring life to someone else whose bone marrow may be dried up. So does your life seem like it's falling apart? You can't quite seem to get it all back together? Are you drying up? Are you suffering from spiritual bone marrow failure? Well, submit to the great physician. Get your bone marrow test. Let him drill that needle into the core of your bone and diagnose you, and then let him treat you. So we have to let the word of God penetrate into our dried up bones and fill them then with the life-giving marrow and allow the Holy Spirit to quicken the word to our hearts. It gives us life. It is life-giving. That's what quickening means, life-giving. And then his grace builds us up and gives us strength to stand against Satan. So yes, these dry bones, they can live again.